Today on the pastor study, we're going to continue where we left off last week as we began to look at some introductory material on the book of Ephesians. We'll be studying through the book of Ephesians for the next several weeks. So before we begin and pick up, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you that we have your very words as you've preserved them in this King James Bible. Father, we just pray your blessing upon the study. We pray you'd bless the words that I speak, that they be your words. We pray you bless the hearer. We pray that this study would edify the hearer, that the hearer would be built up in the things of thee, Lord. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I want to see that in the second chapter, of Philippians, we read of the seven steps downward which our Lord took from the throne to the cross. And we compare that with in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 20 to 23, we have in contrast the seven steps upward from the cross back to the throne. The first step upward is he rose from the dead. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, we read, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The second step, he is seated at God's right hand in heaven. Again, verse 20. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Step 3, in verse 21, we see the third step upward. He's far above all principality and power and might. And then step 4, we see a name above every name in verse 21. Far above all principality, power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. Step 5, upward. The step, fifth step upward, back from the cross, back to the throne. God has put all things under his feet in verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet. Amen. And then we see also the sixth step upward is he is the head over all things in verse 22. And gave him to be the head over all things. Amen. And then the seventh and final step upward, he is the head of the church. Verses 22 and 23 of Ephesians 1. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, what's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter number 2, in verses 1 to 10, we have a before and after contrast. There are seven items telling what we were before we were perfectly, completely lost. There are seven items telling us what we are after. We are perfectly, completely saved. So let's look at this contrast together. First, our past, the first one. In we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 now. Notice what our past was. In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So our past, we see, we were dead in sins. Now look at our present. Look at our present. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Our past, we were dead in sins. We were perfectly, completely lost. Our present, we were quickened with Christ, made alive with Christ. So we're perfectly and completely saved. Now let's look at our second item, our past. Our past, before we were saved. In verse 2 of Ephesians 2, we walked according to the course. See? It says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Let's see our present. Let's contrast our past with our present. In verse 6, we are told, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So we're raised up together. Amen. We walked according to the course of this world, but now, our present standing in Christ, we're raised up together. Our past, the third thing, we walked according to the prince. According to the prince. In Ephesians 2:2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. Notice our present standing in verse 6. And we are made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So we're no longer walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil. No, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Praise God for that. Again, let's look at the fourth thing. We walked according to the Spirit in Ephesians 2:2. Walked according to the prince of the power there, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So it often obviously wasn't the Holy Spirit, amen? It was our own spirit, a spirit of disobedience. But notice now, let's contrast with our present standing in Christ. Look at in verse 7. That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. Amen. We have Christ's everlasting kindness. Praise the Lord for that. Let's look at our fifth thing here on our list. And we see in verse 3 of Ephesians 2, we had our conversation among them, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. That's how we were. You and I were before Christ. Amen. Now let's look at our present. Let's contrast our present with our past. We had a conversation among them, but notice in verse 8, our present standing in Christ. Verse 8, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation, the gift of grace. And then we see the sixth thing we want to see is the lust of our flesh, mentioned there in verse 3. And now in verse 10, we walk in good works. The seventh thing I want us to see in contrast the past with the present is by in verse 3, by the nature we were the children of wrath. In verse 10, we are created anew in Christ. Amen. Now everything turns on verse 4. We see, we're told in verses 1 to 3, Ephesians 2, our standing. We're completely lost without Christ. And then in verse 4, things turn around. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then we read, amen, our present standing in Christ. Now, man is viewed at the start of chapter 2 of Ephesians at his very lowest and worst. By the end of the chapter, he is seen at his highest and best. In between is the works of God's grace. In chapter 2, we have a summary of the contrast between the Jew and the Gentile, who are now united in Christ. In time past, the Gentiles were, according to verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 2, the Gentiles were, number one, without Christ. Number two, they were without God. Number three, having no hope. Number four, once hated and uncircumcised. Number five, once separated from Christ. Number six, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And number seven, strangers from the covenants of promise. But what's interesting, that's what the Gentiles were in time past. But now look at the contrast. In verses 13 through 19, we see now both the Jew and Gentile are in Christ Jesus. See? We're told that we're made nigh by the blood, number one. Number two, we're made one with all believers of any race. See? Number three, no longer separated by a middle wall of enmity. Number four, Jew and Gentile are created into one new man. Number five, the Jew and Gentile reconciled to God and one another. Number six, the Jew and Gentile are given access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Number seven, the Jew and Gentile are fellow citizens. And finally, number eight, the Jew and Gentile are of the household of God. So, there was no greater difference, nor more enmity, than that which existed between the Jews and Gentiles of Paul's day. But, in Christ, both are reckoned both the natural and national lives in the past, according to verse 11, are not just nigh to Christ, but nigh in Christ, verse 13 of Ephesians 2. Both in Christ have the walls of separation down, verse 14. And in verse 15, are free from the enmity caused by rules and laws. Number five, both know the unity which makes peace, according to verse 15. Six, both know the cross kills the enmity, in verse 16. Amen. Number seven, both do and hear the same preaching, according to verse 17. Number eight, both have the same Savior, access, Spirit, and Father, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And both Jew and Gentile, the Spirit is not in me, but in we, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. So it's certainly a cause for great rejoicing as we read through Ephesians 1 to 3 and think on all the wonderful gifts God has already bestowed upon those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Let's quickly look at them. The first one we see is those who have trusted Christ as a Savior are blessed in Christ. They're blessed in Christ. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then we see those who have trusted Christ as a Savior are chosen in Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him. And then we see those who have trusted Christ as a Savior are predestinated by Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 5, we read, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Then we see also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and we're looking at the blessings of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, we see they have redemption through His blood. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, we see all are gathered in Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, we see an inheritance in Him. All those who have trusted Christ as their Savior have an inheritance in Him. All those who have trusted Christ as their Savior have power in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 19. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior are quickened with Christ. In Ephesians 2, 6, they're raised and seated in heaven in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, they have riches of grace through Christ. In Ephesians 2, 10, they're created in Christ. In Ephesians 2, 13, they're made nigh in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, they have access to the Father through Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, they grow in Him. Again, we're looking at the list of the blessings of those that the wonderful gift God has bestowed already on those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, they're builded together in Him. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, they're partakers of the promises in Christ. We see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, the riches of Christ. These are all blessings that God has bestowed upon those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, God's purpose for them is in Christ. In Ephesians 3, 12, they have boldness and access in Him. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, they're glorified, God glorified by Christ. All of these are wonderful gifts of God has already bestowed upon those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you've done that, my friend, these blessings have been bestowed upon you and I already. We certainly have a lot to rejoice and thank God for. In chapters 4 to 6 of Ephesians are as practical as any portion of the Bible outside the book of Proverbs. After beginning chapter 4 with a discussion of the spiritual gifts given for the maturing and perfecting of the body, the remainder of the book contains basic instructions for Christian living. Chapter 4 of Ephesians declares the importance of each member of the body to the remainder of the body. The gifts of the Spirit, the graces of the new life, in the obedient walk of every Christian are essential to the proper functioning of the whole body. The first half of chapter 5 draws a marked distinction between the life of sin lived prior to the new birth and the holy life lived by the children of God. The second half reveals the intimate union of Christ and his church, and in so doing, provides the model for all marriage relationships. Now, it's interesting to consider the 10 uses of the word as, in Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Notice, we are to follow God. Notice it says, "But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So we are to follow God as dear children in verse 1. Notice in verse 2 what it says. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." So we see there we are to love as Christ has also loved us. We're considering the 10 uses of the word as in Ephesians chapter 5. Number 3, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So we see here we are to live as becometh saints. Looking in verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So we are to walk as children. We are to walk as children of light. Looking in verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So we see here, we are to walk as children of light and not as fools. Looking in verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." So we see here wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Then we see that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. In verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Amen. Then notice in verse 28 with me, if you would. Verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 28, we read, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." So we see here the husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. And then look at in verse 29 with me. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church." So we see here then husbands are to cherish their wives even as the Lord the church. And then finally, look in verse 33 with me. Verse 33. We read, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So we see then a husband is to love his wife as himself. So, Ephesians, as noted earlier, sets forth the highest position of the Christian. As a result of that, we should expect a warning about the attacks of Satan. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, we are counseled with regard to our spiritual warfare. Ephesians is to the New Testament what Joshua is to the Old Testament. Although all of Canaan was given to Israel by God, they had to conquer and take possession. So too,
have we been given all things in Christ, but we must fight the good fight to take the possessions of our riches. Amen. So now that we've concluded our introductory material to the book of Ephesians, let's get right into the book. I want us to begin in chapter 1, and I want us to read down the first 14 verses. And here we have in chapter 1, in these first 14 verses, is the Apostle Paul's salutation. And he talks about spiritual blessings in high places. So let's begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So what we see here as we begin, when we get saved, we are put into Jesus Christ. Amen? We are put into Jesus Christ according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. And since he is seated at the right hand of God, and since we are in him, then we are seated in heavenly places with him. And we'll see that later on in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. And as a result, we have received a number of spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, these spiritual blessings, amen, include the following. First of all, we are blameless before him. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I'm going to talk more about this spiritual blessing that we are blameless before him next time on the pastor's study. We've just about run out of time. Thank you for joining us for the pastor's study. Till we meet again, I pray the Lord richly bless you and good day.